Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Supercoach Podcast. We are powered by Code again this week. You're joined by JB again, and I've got with me Chizo. It's been a minute, Chizo. It's been a while since they allowed us to get on a podcast. We know what happened last time, and we've finally been approved to step on a mic again.
Mate, I think you need to go back to like Abacus School or something like that. It's been longer than a minute. I've been crook. I've been busy. End of financial year's coming up, so I'm trying to, you know, get everything in order. And it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. We had a pretty up and down week. I think it started up on Saturday and then went down for most people for the Sunday. How'd you go?
Yeah, not too bad. 24-35, which is like my second top score for the year or something like that. So. Into about 15.5 or 16K or something about that. But as I mentioned earlier on in the year, it's all about rivalry league for me this year, JB. And how'd you go in rivalry league this week? What was your score?
No, I had a couple of buys. I remember that.
Oh, is that right? What was the one that wasn't a buy?
These all just all get muddled into one. I'm trying to think. I might have come up against someone who scored well this week. So look, there's not much you can do against people that score well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like spoiler alert, JB. We've had round one of the Doc Supercoach Cup for come in. We had someone score near 2500 and lose to a 2708.
That's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And
there's a couple of comments saying, "Oh, I feel like I got out of jail with a 2250 and a win this week." It's like, yeah, no, you did.
There were 2150s exactly that got through.
Oh god, that's embarrassing.
Then, sorry, mate.
Yeah, no, that is what it is, I guess. But that is the nature of the cup. And as you mentioned, we have the Dr. Supercoach Cup going at the moment. The first round is complete, so we're going to drop down to 206. Competitors for next week, and it doesn't get any easier. There were some, as you said, big scores, some high rankings going through, all fighting it out for the Dr. Supercoach Cup, which is exciting. We're going to jump into the Cancer Council, though. We got a few donations this week. I'm going to start us off with Johnny Blaze for his generous donation. He said, "I love what you guys do. My ex has just found out that she has stage 4 cancer. She only has 6 months to a year to live. We'll visit her in Toowoomba to offer support and wanted to donate to offer support that way too. Much love." So much appreciated, Johnny, and good luck on your trip. That. Yeah, very sorry to hear about your ex who's battling that. And it just goes to show you, everyone has someone who's dealing with this horrid disease. So it puts a little bit of perspective on what we're doing, what we're trying to raise money for. So Chris is our next donation. Extremely generous by Chris. Just want to thank him especially for his contribution this week. I'm expecting a bunch of donuts by the season's end, and you guys are nearly at 25K. So we'll read the grand total out at the end. Pep is next for drawing my bet with Cullen on Chappie versus Ed Richard. Ed Richards, brackets, Chappie out average, but missed too many games for it to feel like a win. And for losing Carlton versus Fremantle, bet with barbecue. So a couple of debts to pay up there by Pep. We thank you. Keith Thomas has come in. Excelled myself this time. Had wits on the bench as part of a loop. Forgot to put the emergency on. 144 missed, never to be found. I swear we get a couple of these a year, and every time it hurts more every time that people make this accidental error. I've been messaged about 20 seconds before a game to tell me to put my emergency on, and I've scurried on over it and got it in. So appreciate the person who sent me a message, but I was nearly in this boat. It is so easy to do. Jimmy has donated for a Ruck donut, so thanks very much, Jimmy. Rubes for Ruckmageddon / Ruck Apocalypse / Rucknarok. Call it what you like. I blame Bruce Unit. So I appreciate the donation.
Say it with me, Angus. Kids. He's not a premium.
Well, we'll see this week.
Let's go back to round out when Cheese Eight was saying it.
Angus Marwood, donate for donuts, parishes baby cow being the straw that broke the camel's back. A lot of people dealing with that baby cow. And actually, Chizo, just back on that rivalry matchup, did you happen to have Parrish on the bench like I did? Or
No, I couldn't afford him this year.
Right. Or the year before. That seemed to have fallen in your favour.
Or the year before.
He's going very well.
I don't want to curse Barber, him.
Tom Barber's donation is a little bit upsetting. He says, these nuts.
And imagine not using that as a segue for the Manscaped copy, but that's fine. Keep going.
Oh, I should have saved it.
Yeah.
All right, wait. Marshall Kane is the next one. Sorry. Donate for dumb things. Changed my trade from Laird in with the C on to Mills in with the C to try to catch Bex in Rivalry League. Turns out if I left the C on Laird, Curtis 87 would have got me the win, cost myself a Rivalry League victory and about 150 points. What an idiot. Couldn't have said it better myself, Marshall, but I know you'll bounce back, so don't stress. Bilby, the second to last donation, said the rucking donut must be paid for. At least I do not feel alone. Very true. There are a lot of rucking donuts this week. So thank you very much for your donation. And Tom Barber donate saying, these nuts. That's a very strange thing to donate. Thankfully, there's nothing to segue into.
JV, speaking what? Of Dee Sharon's.
Oh, no.
This episode is once again sponsored by Manscaped. The final episode sponsored by Manscaped in 2022, and fantastic sponsors of ours. And thank you for everyone that has supported the sponsors that support us and help us do what we do. Obviously, Manscaped have the amazing performance package 4.0. Inside the package, you get the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer that JB absolutely loves, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, which is a little bit spicy. It feels quite nice. The Performance Boxer Briefs and the travel bag known as the Shed to hold all your goodies. You do need to make your Sharon's a priority this season, JB. The fourth generation trimmer has cutting edge ceramic blade technology to reduce those grooming accidents, JB, that I know that you're prone to. Advanced skin safe technology. And with the performance package 4.0, you can have yourself feeling and smelling good, JB. If you do want to support the sponsors that support us, you can get 20% off and free shipping from manscaped.com using code DRSC. Last chance before the code runs out. Make sure you get in there and get something. If you're on the edge, JB, back to you.
Thank you. Very good read there.
I had to bring the energy for the final one.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. No, very good. Very well done to Manscaped, obviously supporting us now for over a year. By the way, I forgot to shout out the actual tally for the Cancer Council. 24,327 is where we sit. Very close to the $25,000 mark. So appreciative again to everyone who's dipped in this season so far. And I actually owe one, I think, from 2 weeks ago. So someone remind me about that. Now, we're going to get into the podcast. The waffle beforehand is becoming a bit of a tradition, but we are going to start the podcast. It is essentially going to be about three topics. The first of which is going to be Tom Stewart replacement. So obviously news has come out that Tom Stewart's going to miss at least 3+ weeks. I suppose we can have the discussion off the bat as to whether we should or should not keep Tom Stewart. What are your thoughts?
I think it's most likely going to be 3 to 4. And at that point, I think the opportunity cost of holding him for 4 weeks when I think there's only 8 weeks left, you're not going to make those points back. So unless you're in absolute dire straits, or I've seen teams that have like Jaden Short at D7, in which case I could make the argument to keep him. I think all the arrows are pointing towards moving him on.
Absolutely. So three plus rookie scores that you're getting there. So essentially, if you refuse to trade to someone that's going to score you 3 tons in a row, you're losing 40 to 50 points per game, maybe more. I'm not sure how many people have the good enough trustworthy defensive cover either. So it's just something that I wouldn't be going down. This is why we have trades still. Even if you're down to two trades, even if you're down to one trade, I think you kind of just have to roll that dice. You can't be committing to rookie scores on the field. So we're going to then talk about the actual replacements. I'm going to start from the bargain bin, and we're going to work our way up this time. So I'm going to give you a couple of options, or one option at a time, and we're going to just discuss the where you rate them as an actual option. So first off the list is Scott Pendlebury. So he's now very, very cheap. He's I've got to scroll for a while, $438,900. His break-even is 60 because he's had a score of 130 this week. But between the 130 and the 115 in round 7, he scored 97, 73, 62, 75, and 67. So he's gone from being a really reliable premium with a low score of 87 between rounds 1 and 8 to now he's only had one score above 75 since round 8. So it's very risky, I'd say, to be looking at Scott Pendlebury. What do you think?
Are we prefacing this as we'd be looking at someone like a Scott Pendlebury if we were using the cash from Tom Stewart to do an upgrade elsewhere?
Absolutely.
In that case, it's obviously going to depend on the two parts that you're getting to the trade. So it's going to...
Let's say, I can give you a couple of examples off
of
my head.
So say you're upgrading Butters or something like that.
Yeah, so or you've got one more upgrade to make. You're choosing between Jack Steele and Callum Mills. This money gets you that difference. Or in the forward line, you're choosing between Heaney and Tom Liberatore.
God, you're in strife if that's who you're choosing between. But I think
it's just the price difference.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think that we know what we're going to get from Pendles, and that's going to sort of be around the 90 mark. I think he started the season okay, but has been sort of tapering as the season has progressed. So I think the expectations of his current average of 96.3 are a little bit overs for him. I think low 90s is more relevant, maybe around the 90 mark. And I just don't see him being super, super relevant. I've got to be totally honest. I would be trying to find, a different combination that allows me to go a little bit higher in defense if I could, based on how he's been in probably the last 2 months.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think you'd have to be in pretty dire straits to be considering Pendlebury. Maybe it's just that you can't possibly use a trade to go up. Maybe this is your last upgrade and it's not actually a Tom Stewart replacement. Whatever it is, I guess I can understand the rationale between thinking he's a 90 average. I'll probably put him about the same myself. You do expect him to bounce back from the 70s and the 60s, but you don't expect him to bounce back to the 115s plus each week. So I suppose you're buying inconsistency and you're paying for what you're getting at that price as well. So I don't think anyone looking in this range should be expecting a premium who's going to make them happy. They're probably just going to make them happy and sad week by week. So it kind of is what it is. The next price point up, I suppose, is around the 460K mark. I can see a couple of players worthy of discussion here. Whitfield being the first, 3 tons in a row now under the new coach. He's averaging about 108. Now that Spike is the coach, 118, 101, and 103 now. What are your thoughts? I think on the weekend, it was definitely spoken about. I didn't catch the Collingwood GWS game, but it was spoken about that Whitfield was looking like his old running self, getting the 1-2s, running behind the players with the ball. So there's the potential that he at least goes 95 plus from a friendly price range.
Yeah, but we need Pistol there to tell us how he's walking. That's the thing. How's he walking in between quarters? I don't necessarily mind it. I think it's a better option than Jake Lloyd, in my opinion. I'm always going to be biased in this situation, having been burnt by him multiple times in my Supercoach career, and particularly to begin this year as well. You can't deny the fact that since he's come back, so when Leon Cameron was coach, he didn't ton for the entirety of the season. I think it was the first 8 rounds. And in the three weeks he's come back with a new coach, he hasn't not tonned. So I think the role improvement is certainly there. It looks like he's running on top of the ground, so I would be happy to suggest him as an option. But unfortunately, we know that there's that chance that he's going to revert back to just that poor 90 average. But at least I would say that Whitfield has upside, where I don't think Pendlebury does.
Yeah, I don't think Pendlebury has that upside either. I agree, Whitfield does have the upside. I'm actually okay with the pick. If you're shopping with the scenarios I was talking about earlier, not the Jack Steele scenario. Obviously, Jack Steele is just probably the best pick in the game. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the Libber over Heaney types of scenarios where you're deciding between a really safe forward and a speculative defender, or a speculative forward and a really safe defender. I think Whitfield can provide that middle ground where he's probably a safe 95 plus while I'm being conservative, with the potential to just go at a steady 100 to 105. So, look, he's not going to blow you away. He's not going to get the 110 plus like we sort of selected him for at the start of the year, but there's every chance that he just ticks along nicely for us. Jake Lloyd, I did hear there was a little bit of a role change. They tried to get it into the hands of the defenders in this match. I think maybe last week is... No, he didn't score well last week. It was just this week that they sort of changed it and tried to get him more involved. I just don't care. I don't think there's any trust there. I don't think there's any way you could confidently say he's going to average 90 plus on the run home. He scored a 42 in a full game the week before against Ports, who do sort of negate the opposition running backs, but not to the point where you're getting a 42 as a premium. So I don't think there's any way I could see myself advocating for Jake Lloyd.
No, his kick-ins didn't change either. Obviously, there's been a few weeks where Nick Blakey has been taking like 90% of kick-ins, but pretty much every second week, he and Jake Lloyd are taking 50% each, so that continued again on the weekend. So it seems to be one of those games where Jake Lloyd sort of is playing what we're used to seeing. A lot of meters gained, and a lot of kicks and marks sort of linking up and stuff like that. So I'd love to say this is the comeback, but unfortunately we need more data before you can make that sort of claim. And it does look like you're probably buying into a low 90s again. If there was ever an upside of a defender becoming like a top three, you're definitely not going to find it with anyone else like what you can with Jake Lloyd, but you're obviously looking into a crystal ball there. So it's really hard to recommend the 1% chance. Well, it's probably not even 1%. It's like there's a reasonable chance that maybe they do throw him back there, but I think Nick Blakey has permanently impacted that role that he used to have.
I think there's an 8% chance Lloyd goes 100 plus for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll put it there. It's very unlikely. So I'm going to move to someone. What if I read you these scores and told you that this guy's priced sub 500K? The last six matches read 90, 134, 80, 112, 100, and 126.
Sounds nice.
Six in a row. So Liam Baker has moved to a predominantly defensive role. This week against Geelong, I did notice he got a few more CBAs than what he's used to seeing, which might have spruced up a nice 126 there. I think as much of a solution as it is sometimes, it can also be a problem as to how versatile Baker is. It's kind of the problem that we had with Dan Houston a couple of years ago, is just that he can be thrown to fix places if there's an injury, or if they notice that they're struggling in a certain area, he can sort of be thrown in to be the glue guy. But he looks pretty settled in defense and he's scoring really well in the meantime. How much faith do you have in the Baker pick?
I think this week's scoring we have to kind of take as an aberration, because he sort of got thrown in there because of Prestia's absence, who's been averaging, in the 70s and 80s in the last few weeks. And Baker's last time that he had more than 10% CBAs was round one. So I think let's take this score out of it. Read me back those scores without this week's score included.
That's a 90, 134, 80, 112, and 100.
Look, it's not bad. I still think he's probably maybe mid to high 90s if he continues to roll.
Yep.
It's more than likely that he was just a stopgap on the night to take over Prestia's role after he got KO'd. I don't probably think he's going to be sitting in there permanently. But yeah, I've been hearing a lot of murmurs from the Tigers fans. They've been super, super happy with him this year.
He's a really likable player as well. Really fun to actually watch play. His average is 81 for the year, but his 3 and 5 round average read very well. So you can understand why they're getting a bit excited at the moment.
Yeah, it's almost like jumping on a breakout though, because you could easily revert back to that mean.
Yeah, 100%.
This could be his peak. You know what I mean? His purple patch.
And that's the fear, and that's why I'm overall advocating against him, but completely understanding of those who want to take the risk. I think the better risk is $15,000 extra to pay out for Aaron Hall.
Oh, yes, I like that. I like that call. That's good.
So he came back into the team for a 94 against GWS, then they had the bye. Then a 153 against Adelaide. He broke the record for meters gained, I think, for the entire
AFL. I thought you said he was going to break something. He was injured again. He broke something. No, that's great.
So what you do mention there is the fact that he can quite easily get injured. That is the risk. He's got 8 weeks to get through in the for the rest of the season. But if he gets through those eight, he's probably going to be in the top 5 defenders in that time.
Yeah, yeah. Of the names that you've read out so far, he's the one I'd be most confident in would go triple figures if he plays.
Yeah, it's to a point where I'd be shocked if he doesn't, but how much do you pay for the injury risk? How many trades would you have to have left before you start considering someone like Aaron Hall?
I went use it or lose it with Sean Darcy in round 12 last year. So coming into round 16, I think it's a reasonable risk to jump on someone like Aaron Hall, particularly because he's also underpriced. He's only 508. And when you've got an average of 105, 106, and we know what he can produce, like, he's clearly 50K underpriced as well. I don't mind that shout. I don't mind it. Like, obviously there's risk, and the question you're asking is, do you keep a trade up your sleeve for bringing in Aaron Hall? I think you've kind of got to go, I'm going for it now. Like, would I turn down Aaron Hall for Jake Lloyd because I'd maybe only have one trade left? I'd be like,
yeah.
I would probably just go Aaron Hall and be like, well, I've only got one trade left. If I need to use it, I need to use it.
Agreed. I think that's a pretty good way to summarize it. Aaron Hall, you have to understand though, is risking it for the biscuit, but
you could bend yourself over. You know that though.
Someone I know traded in Aaron Hall this week, and I'm pretty sure, judging by their attitude, they're pretty happy with themselves with a 153. So, as you would be, making that very risky pick and it paying off like that. So he is that type of player. Just don't be upset if a short injury happens in the future. So
it can't have been Darren Pistol Hall, because I'd have tinnitus in possible. My ears if it was Pistol. We'd be shouting from the rooftop.
No, I'm glad it's not Pistol. Dan Houston is the next guy on my list. Just because Pistol doesn't let me talk about him, I'm just gonna bring him up to you. He's got an average of 106 now, 5-round average of 112. He is playing at Show Me Well, and he's not quite as expensive as the real big boys. So he's 40K cheaper than Sinclair. He's 60K cheaper than Dawson, 65K cheaper than Sicily. He presents as a bit of value and a bit of safety all at once. What do you think about this pick?
You know that I like Houston.
Mentioning it to you. Pistol bans him on the podcast. Like, I'm
no,
not
I was
about him.
Very, very close to bringing him in. At one point, I showed you a screenshot of my side with him in there, and you were overjoyed. And then I watched him play St Kilda and Cairns in the perfectly, like, the most amazing weather ever, but it was just really dewy, and everyone thinks it was like a cyclone for some reason. And it scared me off him. And I've been disappointed.
That match.
But he scored 2 in the first half.
It's a big second half then.
I actually like Houston. I think you're paying for a little bit underpriced what you can get him for. He sort of goes in these patches where he kind of bangs in a few 90s and then low tons and stuff like that. But yeah, he is genuinely this year that 105, 106 average. And you may be getting him a little bit underpriced for what his true value is this year, but you're kind of paying fair value. And I really don't mind it as a pick. I like Houston this year.
I love to hear that. I think he's essentially exactly what you said. If I was choosing between Houston and Dawson, considering the 60K Dawson difference, then you have to go Dawson.
Yeah.
Like if you said to me Houston and Mills versus Dawson and Steele, I'd laugh you out of the room. It is quite obviously Dawson. Dawson's potentially one of the best picks. Before I jump into him, I just want to discuss one more cheaper option, or cheaper than the big boys. Daniel Rich has sort of flown under the radar. He's gone ton, non-ton, back, all the way up until about 3 weeks ago, just after he got tagged by DeBoer to a 55, which really killed his price. Yeah. He's now gone 119 against Fremantle, 119 against St Kilda, 135 against Melbourne. He is looking back to Daniel Rich that I think a lot of people started and expected to be. He does also come with a little bit of injury risk, and he also comes with a little bit of, I don't know what was happening in the first half of the season risk. But I think considering he's only 30K cheaper than the big boys, I think he's a lot harder sell than what Dan Houston is. I think I'd rather get Houston.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. Like he's still there, basically their sole kick-in taker, and particularly with Dane Zorko there, firstly not taking kick-ins anymore, but also not kind of impacting as a go-to kind of exit man out of defense. I think we're going to see a little bit of an uptick in his performance, maybe from his current 100 average to maybe 105 if we're super, super lucky, but probably like 103. I just don't see him outperforming the likes of even Houston who and Hall, who are significantly cheaper than him.
Yep. No, I agree completely with that. Now, we get into the big boy discussion. This is still talking about Stewart replacement, so you're going to have a little bit of money in the bank to go up to these guys. Cicely, Dawson, Sinclair, I think all three of them are quite obvious ticks. Yep. I just want to know who you like the most out of these three guys and why.
I probably like Dawson first.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't want to be wrong about picking him over Sinclair a month ago. And Sinclair started really, really hot and I got really worried. I don't want to confirmation bias myself into pumping my own tires, but I sort of want to. Like I got asked a question, I want to say maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago, someone was upgrading their defense and they wanted excuses to pick Dawson over Sicily, because Sicily was like peak price and Dawson was a little bit cheaper and they're just looking for some value. I think the comment I made at the time was, we're unlikely to see Dawson go up to Sicily's level, but we may see Sicily come back down towards the 110 level. So it was more of a, do we see Sicily falling off, in which case you should pick Dawson, as opposed to can Dawson explode? And I've sort of been, you know, like not really correct in that respect, because I didn't see this uptick from Dawson, but I sort of feel like Sicily is just kind of coming down to sort of where I saw him as that 110 is sort of like, I just didn't see him sustaining the 120s. So they're all certainly ticks. I probably still have Sicily vaguely ahead of Dawson, but it's really a coin flip, and Sinclair's really not far behind. But probably Dawson, Sicily, and Sinclair in that order. But you're probably not going to go wrong. We're really splitting hairs, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to rank them in reverse order. So I'm going to go 3-2-1. So Sinclair 3 for me.
Yep.
For one reason, the only separator that I can possibly find, because I think Sinclair's an unreal pick, and I've got him in my team.
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks, he's been tagged to a 105 and a 79. So they're not bad scores to get tagged down to. That's not the issue. It's just the fact that he is taggable, and St. Kilda looks so much worse when it happens. So I'd be surprised if there wasn't attention in at least one of the games going through for the rest of the season. He versus Sydney in round 23, who just tagged him with Clark very successfully. Yeah. So look, I think that's enough of a concern to say if I'm choosing
between
these
three.
going against it and still was in the game, exactly, and played well, by the way. So that's why he's third. To me, Sicily is second. And not because of anything Sicily's done wrong, but it's because of what Dawson's doing right and what he's about to do. So they've got a much spoken about run: Melbourne, Hawthorn, Collingwood, Sydney, Carlton, West Coast, North Melbourne, Port Adelaide. About four or five of those games are really like easy, chalk them up as really good Dawson scores. They've obviously got West Coast, who he scored well against already, 106. North Melbourne, who he just went 134 against. Port, in which he kicked the winning goal and scored 123 against early in the season. Melbourne seems to be giving up good points to half-backman as well. So just a few little things where you can and tick off and just say, you know what, with this run home, I'm actually going to back Dawson to follow Sicily. And I think it's just entirely possible that that happens. Sicily, since CJ has come back in the team, has sort of just not. It's not like he's even regressed that much. Damn it, I always say that. But the last three scores, 98, 116, 87. Teams are starting to target him a little bit more. The Hawks are just happy to go through Scrimshaw and CJ when that happens. I think Sicily can be prone to just something slightly lighter, in which case I think Dawson's got a bit of a free run, so and a good run home. So,
yeah. I'm loving it.
It's
the
so hard
that
splitting
Dawson's
hairs
taking...
between those guys.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm loving the fact that Dawson's taking like... he had 7 kick-ins on the weekend. Like he's still sort of... He's got the same floor as Sicily, but he also pushes up a little bit more and doesn't rely on intercepts. So you include that...
They use him more as well. He's by far the best kick in the team, whereas Hawthorn have a lot of outlets from halfback, and Sicily might be the best, but they just man him. They know now.
I think the thing for me is that Sicily and Dawson, I genuinely really can't split. It's probably just the Adelaide run home that I find a little bit more tasty. And you can't tag Sicily per se. I don't think that they would bother with Dawson. But Sinclair now being a tag risk is something that, regardless of what he's scoring, when he's not tagged, it's just too much of a risk for me. And that's why I'd put him as the third out of those three.
Yeah. I mean, if you already had Sicily and Dawson... and like Doherty, for example, and Hewitt, then it's still Sinclair is an unbelievable option. It's just that Dawson and Sicily are slightly ahead of him, and to a point where I think Dawson / Sicily is your ideal go-to, whichever one you don't have. And if you have neither, then look, I'm personally saying Dawson, but I could completely understand why you'd ignore me and go Sicily anyway. I think you're not going to lose it either way. Yeah. And then I think going all the way down to Aaron Hall is your next best option before looking at the likes of the more consistent Houston, if you were worried about trades, or someone who's on a bit of a run. Like, I mean, Jack Crisp is usually pretty consistent. If you don't have Hewitt, it can be an opportunity to get someone like that as well. So,
yeah.
Essentially, luckily for Stuart owners, he saved a bit of a drop. He still scored 161, only dropped 20K instead of 40, which is a big deal considering he could be so much cheaper. And you've got the opportunity to go down to a lot of the players except the real big two. So, it is a bit of luck involved, and Sicily owners have had a great year because of the ownership and the faith that they put in Tom Stewart.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. All right, so we've got another discussion. This one's going to go into about a 3 or 4 parter. I'm going to start with Butters and English. Those are the two. So if both are ruled out this week, which I think they will be, what do we do? Especially if it means getting a donut. I've heard a lot of people that held the two last week now talking about trading this week.
Yep. I'm in that camp.
What are your thoughts? Wow, okay. So talk to me.
I'm in that camp specifically because having planned so many trades to be used in the buys as opposed to the lead up, I didn't have the flexibility to incorporate two big injuries last week. So I was, and that's even using my final boost, which I was using last week. So I really got bent over in many respects in that way. So tackling it this week, I obviously want to keep English over Butters, but I can't afford to have a second week running of getting a donut in my ruck line. So it's a really dispassionate, sorry, I don't mind having Butters, but you've got to go. I'm going to swing English forward so I can cover him and I'm going to bring in a ruck. That's my play in this situation if you've got both, and particularly at the risk of getting a donut. And I think for those that have the trades remaining, it's also a really good option to kind of move Butters on, because as well as we can make a dozen different excuses and they're all slightly different and he was, this one was injured and this one was sick and this one was tagged and this one was whatever, the fact of the matter is it's now like only a handful of weeks left and he just hasn't done what we need him to do, and he has games where there's nothing wrong and he still scores 50s. So if we have the ability to get this 90 from F6 to an Luke Parker that's a 105 average for the season, I think that it's worth kind of making that move if you can, particularly because I think Ken's comments today were Butters wants to be back next week, but he's, you know, we'll see about as that was like his comment. Well, he said it after.
He said it Sunday, so he sort of meant like next week is in.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, that would mean.
That would mean he misses his second week this week.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And
okay.
Is probably going to play the third week, which I think is the likely scenario.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, which is what I'm sort of going on.
Yeah, look, I think Butters was tradable last week. I think he's still tradable this week if you're going to cop another donut and you just don't think you can get that. But the fact of the matter is, and especially for those looking at English the same way, is you can't get the points back for last week. You're not trading in a donut to cover the last 2 weeks. You're covering it for a 1 week injury, which both of these now are. What other instances are you trading out a 1 week injured player? Are you trading out players who get concussion for a week? I understand with Butters camp, a lot of people are trading now because of the extra 1 week, plus the donut, plus the untrust in his scoring ability, which, look, those three things combined could absolutely be worth a trade to you, and I understand that. But with Tim English, like, stop the nonsense. No one's trading Tim English, even if it means you're avoiding another donut.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely a must hold. So I think it's interesting. I would still personally advocate for holding Butters this week.
Yeah, yeah. I think the way that you framed that was really good, in that what 1 week injury or 2 week injury, like to a premium, do we really flick him for? And I like,
yeah,
you know what? Particularly at this end of the season with limited trades, you're absolutely right. A 2 week injury is it's a pretty easy hold most of the time. So
yeah,
if you're comfortable with him at F6 and you're not copping donuts, it makes absolute sense that you would be holding him this week. I think that the option that I presented was, if you're like a Christian Petrarca for some reason and you can suddenly get Petrarca up to like a McRae, you know, you're getting that genuine premium upgrade in that position, and your team like allows for that, I can sort of, that's sort of how I'm presenting. I realize I came across was advocating to get rid of him, but the way you said it made a lot of sense.
No, but I also understand it, because if you've got any more than 4+ trades this week, we've just gotten through another week of AFL with just the Stewart injury. If you're not a Stewart owner, you've still got Butters, you've still got 4 or 5 trades. I understand doing the trade this week still, especially if avoiding a donut, because it gives Butters 100 points essentially to chase down for the rest of the year. He wasn't scoring 105, averaging 100 plus as it was. So look, I completely understand it. Mm. I'm just not advocating for it. Having said that, I traded him last week. So like at the same time.
You what?
No.
Oh, you, I just fell off my chair.
This is all part of the production value. This is Chizo knows that I made this move.
How do you fall off a chair and have it land on you? I like swivel because it's like a spinny. I swiveled and. Let me ask you this: if you've got Tim English in your ruck line and Tickle's your R3, and you're gonna cop another donut, are you sacrificing Butters? Do you agree with the idea that I'm doing this week?
Well, that's what I did last week. So, look, I understand it because I thought there was every chance he missed 1 week last week. So, I'd be hypocritical to say that, like, that would be a bad move. And I don't even have bulk amount of trades, but it's all about your own risk assessment and how many trades you have. So, for me, last week, it was likely missing one, potentially missing two. So, I still had that potentially missing two thing to sort of weigh on the situation. You guys who are now thinking of trading this week don't have that. He's ready to go this week.
Yeah.
It's just whether he passes all the tests and Port even want to play him. I think they won't. But if that's the case, then it can only possibly be one more week unless something else happens. So, that also factors into it. Your trades factor into it. And what else you can do? I mean, look, if you can avoid the donut by, say you're making an upgrade this week, you were going to get Jack Steele. Instead, you do an upgrade, swing a bunch of players around and get a Ruckman. And then next week, do like a upgrade of someone else to someone. I don't know what you're doing. But
are you just making things up at this point?
Essentially, if you can avoid it, I would. But at the end of the day, I think giving Butters 100 points to chase down is super reasonable as well.
Yeah. I'd just like to call on the community, particularly in Slack, to get in touch with us, whether trading out your boy means he's still your boy anymore. We need a rule.
Well, I've got Parrish, and you've still got Butters, so can we just switch teams to this? And then we've still got our boys. It's fine.
No, Butters is gone for me. He's gone.
Okay.
I can't lose Parrish if I never have him. You see, that's the thinking. That's the 200 IQ play.
I can't believe you don't have him, and that's the reason that I lost to you. Okay. Anyway, we're gonna move on to the next topic. This is a bit of a three-parter because there's only three names I can think of off the top of my head.
Yep.
We're gonna start with Jaden Short, and just discuss the validity of moving him on this week. A lot of people discussing Short. Yeah, no, trust me, a lot of people are discussing Short. He's dropped down below 500k. He's got a silly break even. Four of his last six scores have been in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not getting what we thought he would from this midfield role. Thing that gets me is three of his next three games are against West Coast, Gold Coast, and North Melbourne.
Yeah. And Gold Coast aren't necessarily terrible, sorry.
So in 3 weeks' time, what happens?
I don't think we're having the same discussion in 3 weeks' time.
I understand, the thing is Tom Stewart also returns in 3 weeks' time. If I'm trading Short, I'm giving him at least three more weeks to prove to me that he's good or bad. And if he's not quite up to scratch in 3 weeks' time, he probably has made a little bit of money at that point with a couple of low tons. Look, I don't accept that. I've still got four trades in the bank. Tom Stewart's now back. I'm making the side switch then. I'm not doing it this week. Yeah. Not before those fixtures.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree about the midfield time thing as well. It's just, you know, we don't really want one of our guys that have spent a decade in one role having to learn a new role on game day.
Mid-season, yeah.
Yeah, and he clearly can play, and we've seen him play some really good midfield games. But, yeah, it really concerns me for his ceiling going forward. Obviously, he scored that 152 against West Coast the first game he played in the midfield. But then he's only had 109, 110, 102, which is still like fine, but he's really not getting that that ceiling that he would have with like the 110 pluses that he had in the first half of the year. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 109, so let's call it 5 110 plus scores in his first six. And then since then, when he's been in the midfield, he's had 1, 2, 3. So, yeah, he's going to be a little bit reduced. But I just don't think it's bad enough yet to mandate trading him. That's all.
So
I think in 3 weeks' time, we're not going to be worried.
Yeah, against Geelong, he had 94 points with about 13 seconds left. He socketed off the ground into their forward 50, and it was intercepted by Stewart. He got negative 10 for that action.
Yeah.
That last second playing it. And then
can you imagine doing that after the game's already gone?
If he had it, that was with the game on the line. If he had hit a chest with that kick, with that soccer forward, if the forward was playing in front, he gets a goal assist from that. He scores 110. It's a negative 30 swing.
Yeah.
On that being marked by a Geelong player as opposed to a Richmond player. I don't think we're having this exact discussion. I think he's annoying and inconsistent, but I don't think we're talking about trading him out this week if that goes the other way. So I think a little bit of context is definitely goes a long way here, and I think he bounces back in the next three. If not, then make your move to Stewart.
Yeah.
Christian Petrarca, the next one. And my lord, this guy is frustrating. He's getting real close to my never again list. He's 478K. I keep thinking he's going to bounce back week after week. He's now had four sub-tons in a row. 53, 70, 99, 97. It is as painful as it could possibly be having this guy in your team. And it's not getting better. He's getting 30 touches and something odd tackles and scoring in the 90s every week. I think he scored like 5 goals, 17 for the year or something stupid. He's not kicking goals. He's just not at his absolute best. And it's really hurting us in the midfield. So is he a trade out as of this week, or is he a wait and see for another week? He's got Adelaide coming up. What would you do with Petrarca?
He's more of an upgrade target. I see he and Butters as genuine sort of, you can pick someone for 15 points better than him quite easily. And I suppose he can with Shaw, but I think it's like really pushing a lot. Like there's only a couple names that are really 15 points above of where I genuinely see Short averaging for the rest of the year. Petrarca playing well, playing decently, probably not in, you know, top gear. I think there is the potential for him to improve, and we will see his scoring improve, but he's just never been long-term. Like, I've never seen him as, like, that 120 average like we saw last year where he just kind of went crazy. So there still is obviously the potential for him to bounce back. I just wonder if he's been carrying something a little bit.
Just not Melbourne Football Club, I can tell you that.
Yeah. So he's genuinely someone that if... Again, you're in that position and you're looking to get that you know, someone you missed out on. I can see that as a genuine option. In saying that again, though, like if you're down to like three or four trades, I'd probably still just hold on to him for a little bit longer and use that to cover what goes wrong. If I
had the exact cash in the bank and four trades remaining to go to Steel, for some reason, then in that instance, I would do it. So yeah. You need like 80K.
Yeah.
Any other reason, if I'm using 2+ trades to do it, if I have 3 trades remaining, 2 trades remaining, I you just have to keep him.
Yeah.
He's playing good footy statistically. He's just not playing good footy Supercoach-wise.
Yeah.
And I doubt that's the norm going forward, but I also doubt he goes 115+ for the rest of the year. So... there is the opportunity to upgrade him. If I had 6 or 7 trades, then I would be using 2 trades to get rid of him. I think he's probably most people's worst player. So it's just that sort of finding that niche of how many trades that you have left and whether you can get rid of him.
Yeah, I think Petrarca in Short, for me, is sort of like a quote-unquote premium frustration as opposed to necessity. Whereas I think like Butters is like, he's clearly not going to be in touching distance of, you know, the guys that are actually going to fill the top 6 to 8 forwards, and some guys that are emerging and stuff as well with new roles. So he's more of a necessity in my eyes as opposed to, obviously it's a frustration, but Petrarca in Short, ordinarily I would just hold, unless you're in like the amazing position that in one trade you can get Dawson, you know, like something happened and you just had all this cash lying around and it makes it really easy. I wouldn't be going out of my way to move multiple chess pieces in your team and find cash from downgrading Hoff to a non-playing rookie just to upgrade him. I wouldn't be doing something like that.
What if you could do Tom Stewart and Petrarca to Hall and Steele?
I actually love
or,
that.
Or Tom Stewart straight to Jordan Dawson and just keep him Petrarca in a trade.
I would just get Dawson. That would be my move. But
I'd be aggressive. I'd do the two. If I had more than three trades, for it, if I had three trades remaining after those moves, so five plus at the moment, I think I'd do the aggressive move there.
Yeah, or I think for rank, you will absolutely
do the aggressive.
That's the risky play. Yeah. But then, do you want one trade from round 17 onwards? And then ring pistol and ask what he wants. You know, like how he deals generally with it mentally after the season finishes.
And he would be doing that for sure, to Hall as well. So it actually all lines up.
Can we change his password? I'm really scared for what he's going to do.
No, I want to see it. I want to see what happens.
I want to see you burn.
Harry Himmelberg is the last person to discuss this podcast before we get into some captaincy discussions. So this guy has technically made his money. If you traded him in 2 weeks ago, he's got a 95 and a 114.
Mm.
He's made 110K, so congratulations to those who took the punt. Now those who took the punt are sort of stuck with the decision whether he's got a 113 break even just for this week. If he turns up again, that sort of resets down to about 80. If he's got a 113 break even, he could potentially lose a bit of money. He's getting played essentially three quarters in, or two and a half quarters in defense, and then one and a half to two quarters in a forward ruck role. Right now he's scoring well still, which is good. That's a pro. But I think with Bruce coming in and even a fit Flynn, which rhymes, you can definitely make the argument that he's actually just going to go back to defense and just be an Uber for the rest of the year. There's just that scare factor of if you're committing to holding him now, you're probably committing to holding him for the rest of the season. What do you do with Himmelberg?
I like Himmelberg, particularly if you have him. You're not going to be moving him on at this stage the way he's scoring. The only people that dislike Harry Himmelberg's kind of emergence are Isaac Cumming owners, those that took the punt on him and when he was averaging 110, because Harry has absolutely like killed the ceiling of Cumming because he's now having to genuinely share kick-ins, whereas he didn't in the first nine rounds of the year. I think that's the fantastic thing about Himmelberg's floor. You know me, I dislike flexibility where roles can change during the game. And so I would prefer to have someone, you know, like a Dawson, talking about in terms of Tom Stewart replacement as well as... like if you've got some DPP action and stuff that you can use, like I wouldn't be necessarily telling people to try and get him into their sides at this point in time. I think if you jumped on him early and you've made that cash, I think you're just kind of sitting on him. But I just don't see him as someone at this point, now that he's gone up in all that price. The risk is now all there that wasn't there previously because he was cheaper.
Yeah, look, I think he's... don't buy, don't sell Himmelberg.
Yeah.
I think you're just happily owning him and he's not going to plummet in money or anything. So why use the trade this week? What if he averages 110 for the rest of the season? If he shows in the very next week, it could be this week coming up, if he scores 70, plays a quarter in defense and then gets thrown forward for the rest of the match, then you can assess it. You can go, all right, you know what, that's it. I'm trading him. He ended up losing 10K from that experiment, but I know that he's not going to be that Uber that I wanted. If he goes 120 next week, bam, his break-even's back to 80, and it's 80 for a couple of weeks as well. So, look, there's just... you've got all the power as an owner to just continue to hold him and reassess every single week. That trade that you were going to spend on him this week might become more important in 3 weeks' time for something else. And now you've just got the rolling do I need to trade him? Do I have the trades to trade him? What's his role like? Over and over and over again. But you haven't actually spent anything to get there. You've already used the trade to get him in. Now you're not spending anything to just keep him, hold him, reassess every week. So I think that's absolutely the easiest thing to do. Even if I was missing someone like Bontempelli forward, if I could afford Bontempelli from Himmelberg this week, I just would not do it. Not this week. I would keep assessing, keep waiting, keep holding that trade, see if it becomes more important elsewhere.
Yeah. What if you had Butters? Would you entertain Butters to Himmelberg, or you're still in that he's only 1 week away, who trades a premium for 1 week sort of thing?
Yeah, and don't buy, don't sell Harry. You're not buying him knowing that that role could go sideways and that there's no cash to gain from it anymore. So I think the upside from Harry as a purchase has gone away. The downside is still evident, but that doesn't apply to people who already made the upside purchase and got that 100K. So for Butters specifically, like I said, he's only missing 1 week from this week. I would still advocate holding, coming from someone who's traded themselves, and I'm not going to be hypocritical and completely understanding of those people who do actually think for their team it's best to trade.
Yeah, sure.
But just make sure you've got the trades to do it, and you're not leaving yourself with one or two for the run home, which I've done, silly enough. So look, it's all about your risk profile as well. You could trade Butters this week, have one trade remaining, and not need to use that trade in round 23. It's unlikely, but nothing is guaranteed in this game. So play the game with your risk profile, with your complete understanding of what you're doing to your side and how you're leaving yourself high and dry on trades and potential cash situations, and then just make your decision, because Butters this week, he could come back from the sore knee. Port go, look, mate, you're going crash and bash too hard. We need you for a potential finals run. Let's just stay in the forward pocket for a couple of weeks and let yourself fully recover.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible. I don't think it's probable, but it is entirely possible. So, look, just get your head around whatever situation you're in and make a decision based on that. And, look, there's a very, very unlikely chance that it goes completely, completely wrong. So just back yourself in there.
Yeah. I love that, mate.
Good. All right, we're going to move on to captaincy decisions. This might be the easiest week ever. So have you looked into it at all?
I'm really liking a Thursday night VC, and then we've got such a smorgasbord of options that you don't sound like you agree.
No, I don't agree already. I'm sorry.
Wait, you said it was easy, and we're looking at Brisbane versus Doggies.
I know. Honestly, it could be Jackson McRae lined up against the blind squad on Thursday, and I'd pass on a VC. There is no way I'm letting my VC score 130 this week and missing out on what Clayton Oliver is going to do to Adelaide.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That is 1,000% where I'm spending my VC is on Clayton Oliver, and then I'll make if he somehow fails as a VC option, I'll figure it out from there. It could be Darcy against a ruckless Port. It could be, I don't know, there's not many options. Took Miller against Collingwood is absolutely fine.
Wits.
I'll figure that part out. Wits against Collingwood is even better.
You'll figure that part out. Jeez.
Genuinely, it'll be Clayton Oliver into whoever my loophole is, because he's 2-round average against Crows is over 200. His projection this week is 193.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
I don't think he's going to do that, right, but if he suddenly scores less than 125,
okay,
I'll be baffed.
All right,
completely baffled.
JB, only 50% of teams own Clayton Oliver. Put yourself in the shoes of the other 50%. Over half of the competition, 85,000 people.
I've deleted
out
my
there.
Team. I've already deleted my team. You told me to put myself in their shoes. My team's gone. Now I'm looking at nothing. I don't know what the fixture is. I have no players. I'm now in their shoes.
What about Rory Laird versus Melbourne?
If you don't have Clayton Oliver, first of all, condolences.
Put yourself in their shoes.
Secondly, I hope you have someone like Callum Mills against Essendon. I hope you have someone like Lachie Neale against Bulldogs or McRae against Brisbane. I hope you have someone else that can secure a 115 plus, because Clayton Oliver's, you're not going to want to watch that Adelaide game. I think he's going to hurt you.
I've got your answer, JB. You're going to do a VC of Oliver into Will Brody if Oliver tanks.
No, Poor are good against opposition midfielders. Don't you know that? Somehow, every time someone's coming up against Poor, I make up a Poor actually negate that type of player. So it's, you know, it's really risky to put the VC on. No, we only negate halfbackers. I think midfielders do really well against us. No, I think I would be going Took against Collingwood.
Yeah.
If Clayton Oliver fell over at quarter time on 87 or whatever he's on at that point, I think I would then roll it on to Took Miller. Personally, if I had wits, I'd roll it on to him.
Yeah. Love it.
What about Oscar McInerney for a VC?
God, who would bring him in?
Nobody. All right, that's
going to... Moving on very quickly, JB.
Do you want to go through the Twitter plugs?
Yes, I've actually forgotten mine. So you can find the main page at @Dr_SC, JB @JB_DRSC, Pistol @Pistol_DRSC, and Cheezo with a Z @Cheezo_DRSC. And give us all your feedback. Love it. I haven't been getting enough questions lately. So feel free to jump in the DMs. It's still the same two dudes that ask the same questions about whether I am advocating to get Darcy Cameron each week.
Shout one of those two dudes out. Which one do you think would love a shout out right now?
I'm opening.
You don't know them by off the top of your head.
No, I call them Darcy Cameron number one and Darcy Cameron number two. Tommy Ace, there you go. He asked me Goldie or Cameron. I said, do I have to pick?
Goldie didn't help. Let me answer that, Tommy. Goldie's a much, much better option than Cameron because Grundy coming in might soil the Cameron plans.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Should I flex Goldie's about good. Having dinner next to Grundy, or are we still unconfirmed on that? Could be his twin.
I'm a completely... There's a blurry photo. I saw nothing. You and your celebrity spotting, I think you've racked up enough restraining orders by now, surely.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely spot on.
Oh, good. Okay. all right, thanks everyone for listening. Have a good week. Good luck this week. I'm hoping there's no more injuries because we already don't have enough trades as it is. Appreciate everyone listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.